On today's Bill of the Flatus show, rayon-covered sausage, poor butterfly, and Andy, my friend from Boston, visits us. All of this and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. I'm Kenty, and Jose, my co-host, is actually not napping right now. He's looking out the door. I just started recording. He got up from his nap and is now looking to go out into the kitchen, so I want to let him go. Hold on.
Come on, Jose. Come on.
So he is out in the kitchen. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Oh, this is a good show today. This past weekend we had, John and I had a house guest, Andy. He's been here before many times, and he's been on the show. I've talked about him. He's the gay man we know who likes to eat pussy. So he's on. Again, he's going to be talking about sex. He's going to be talking about gay sex and how he thinks it's changed from the 70s till now. So you'll hear that today. Let's see here. Well, this week, let's see. I've been very busy. I'm actually all month. I work in the accounting profession. So I'm very busy until the tax season is over. And I don't do anything private. I'm really an accounting clerk. So I do a lot of reconciliations. I don't make any kind of major decisions. So I'm not a financier or anything. I really don't, you know, I couldn't give you any kind of advice, let me tell you that, or tax advice. But I'm busy where I work. You know, we have a lot of things that we're doing. And just the nature of the beastie. So I haven't had a lot of time to work on this show and getting ideas. I've had actually this week here, this show is actually different from what I had planned. I had planned on doing another show with different topic, and I have that prepared, so I'll probably be doing that next week. But what I have noticed is this... it's not a lack, but I get sort of depressed when I come to do the show, because there's so much I want to do and so much I have open that I feel overwhelmed. I'm changing over the website, and that's labor intensive because I want to do it my way. You know, I built the theater and everything, the little theater, took the pictures. You can see that. Go to the flatusshow.com. You'll see the splash page, and then it's going to change. The pages, when you click on that, there's going to be other changes. But it's labor-intensive. I mean, it's satisfying, but at the end, it's like, you know, I'm left with a pile of, you know, pieces of cardboard cut out in my floor and tape and everything, and I have to clean it up, and, you know, so it's a little depressing. Plus, I have to go through, and I just pulled out a bunch of books I have to sell, because I'm running out of room for things I want. And so, you know, I have to get that done. I have to go and sell those, because I can probably get a few shekels for them or whatever. I went this past week. I had an eye appointment, and the doctor put the good news is my prescription did not change. But what I have noticed is that when I am reading, I keep my glasses on all day. I'm reading and I look up and everything's sort of fuzzy, and it takes a while for my eyes to focus. And he tells me that that's the beginnings of being presbyopic, I think it is, which means that I'll need bifocals. And he says 5 years or less. So we'll see what happens in the next few years. But I'm going to go have my eyes checked again next year, I think. To make sure I, you know, I want to get the bifocals as soon as I can. He says I'll know exactly when I'll need them, but, you know, I'm going to keep up with it. Because I hadn't been to the doctors, the eye doctors, in 7 years. So he gave me all these tests. He gave me a glaucoma test. And he actually did two types of glaucoma tests. He did the kind with the air. You sit in front of this machine. They shoot air in your eye. And that measures the pressure. And then he actually didn't like the readings on that. So he did the old-fashioned one. And he put these drops in my eyes. He's like, oh, don't worry about this. This isn't going to make your eyes dilate. So I hate that. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have that done. I hate it. It hurts your eyes. When you go out in the sun. You have to wear sunglasses all day. So he put the drops in my eyes, and then he puts me in this machine. He goes, just look over here. And so he does this thing, and he goes, turn your head, you know, looking this way, and, you know, he's done. And he was like, oh, yeah. I said, what's this? He goes, this is a glaucoma test, but this is where I actually touch your eye. I didn't feel a damn thing. The little machine came over and, you know, went into my eye, and I didn't feel it. He numbed my eyes. Those drops numbed my eyes. So he was very gentle wiping away the extra. When he put the drops in, he was very gentle when he wiped away the extra drops or whatever, the medicine. So I had that. And so before I went to the eye doctors, I took a half day, and I went to Orpheus, which is a used classical music store in Boston. It's off of Mass Ave on Commonwealth Avenue. So if you're ever in Boston, you like classical music, go to Orpheus. It's a, you know, owner-operated place. You know, it's a good, nice guy. And in fact, Orpheus, let me tell you, I moved to Boston in 92 and I went to the Gay Pride Parade. And he had just opened up the store then. That was 92. And I remember him, he was handing out flyers, you know, at the Gay Pride Parade. And it was the owner himself. And so he handed out that, so I guess it's a while. It's 97, that's 15 years? Yeah, I guess 15 years, that's a long time. I've bought many a CD and LP from him. But I went in there, I was just looking around, and I saw a big pile of sheet music. So they were a dollar a piece, so I picked up a few. Which leads me to this being overwhelmed. I mean, I play a ukulele song. Now, I've been pretty lazy the past few months because some of the songs, I'll just play songs I already know again, you know. I'll do those. Or I'll just take a recording I had previously and pop it in there. Because I'll tell you, it takes a lot to learn these songs. And for me, I'm just sort of want to, like, learn the melody, do the chords, and sing it. But I am beginning to become more interested in the ukulele and maybe playing songs instrumentally where I'm playing the, you know, the chord and the melody. Lyle Ritz, he's a famous ukulele jazz player. He made two albums in the 50s, and he's still playing today. He's older. I don't know how old he is, but he's an old man. He still plays the ukulele. And so I'm sort of interested in learning something a little bit, like trying to learn about his style and maybe learn how to play that way and make arrangements. So today I was working on a song called Just Like a Butterfly That's Caught in the Rain. And I found a recording online. This guy recorded a 78 from whenever. It was the song. Let me get the song here. It's a great cover, too. The song is by Mort Dixon and Harry Woods. And the Jerome Remick Company from 1927. And it's in, it's for, you know, C-tuned ukulele. That's how it's arranged. The ukulele arrangement is really good. I was, you know, going through it, and I was singing it and stuff. But then I was realizing how I could play this instrumentally, you know. And so I was working on that, and it was frustrating because I was working on it for hours, and, you know, I was making some progress, but wasn't as much as I, you know, wanted to because I couldn't play it for the show. So today's song, actually, is not going to be me at all. It's going to be recording I found. It's a 78, and it's a recording of Poor Butterfly from back when, I guess it was, you know, 19, I don't know when it was recorded. The show itself is from the Hippodrome's production called, I think, The Passing Show, and it, I have the RCA record right here, RCA 78, let me find it, I got this for a dollar, the 78, let's see here, here it is, Poor Butterfly from the Hippodrome production, The Big Show. That was 1916, so I don't know if this recording is from 1916 or not, but if it is, I mean, that's clearly public domain. So I'm going to play that today. It's really interesting. Edna Brown is the singer, contralto, and there's an orchestra. So you'll hear that. And let's see, what else is there? Well, let's see here. Oh, I bought this week also. I wanted to buy some running gear. I want to do some running because I want to lose weight. I want to, you know, I'm tired of making excuses. So I went to the sports store and I said, what can you wear to keep warm while you're running? So they recommended Under Armour. I think that's the brand, called Cold Gear. And I bought some. And I wore it to bed, and it's very tight-fitting. That's part of the way it works. It's like a special fabric, two special types of fabric. What it does is it wicks away the sweat when you're running, but it keeps you warm at the same time. Now, of course, when I was sleeping in it, I wasn't running or sweating, but it's very tight-fitting and form-fitting. And I was wearing it, and I hardly had to use any kind of blankets. And another thing is my feet are always cold, even when I'm in bed. And wearing this, I don't know if it's because it's a tight fitting, because it's tight fitting and it's somehow doing, like, massaging the skin to keep your circulation going, but my feet were, like, perfectly fine. They weren't cold while I was wearing them. So I guess there's something to say about, you know, tight fitting clothes, which reminds me of my one podcast I did months ago called Skin Tight Spacesuit. Apparently, you know, that's the reason why the skin tight is because there's a lack of gravity in space. So I'm going to start running. I don't really know how to start the process because I've never really run before because I don't want to hurt myself. So I have a lot going on. Oh, John, he goes, can you wear something else to bed, Ken, because I don't like the feel of that stuff, that outfit you're wearing. He goes, I last night I rolled over and I said, oh, I'm going to hug Kenny while we're sleeping. You know, he's rolling over. He puts his arm around me. And he goes, it felt like a rayon-covered sausage. So he didn't like that. He doesn't like that fake feeling of rayon. But it doesn't bother me. So I had So I feel like a rayon-covered sausage, apparently, with the outfit. So, okay, ShopPink. I want to give a shout-out for ShopPink, the ShopPink Oddcast. You can find them at shoppink.com, I guess. ShopPink, ShaPink.com. I don't know if there's a hyphen in there. It might be a hyphen between the Sha and the Pink. So it might be Sha-Pink.com. But you can find them if you come to MySpace. MySpace.com/FlatusShow. They're one of my friends. You can find out their information there. If you just type in ShopPink in Google, I'm sure you'll find them. But I wrote to Darren. I said, I'm interested in playing one of your songs because I was thinking about Bobby Brady Pants. They create these songs week after week. I mean, right off the top of their head. They're very much more talented than I am musically. I mean, really, I don't do much creating anymore, and I just sort of fake it. But I wanted to do one of their songs, but they had this other new song they did called Sex Zombie, so I wanted to do that. Maybe it's like a musical based on Jeffrey Dahmer, the Jeffrey Dahmer musical Sex Zombie. So, let's see here. Is there anything else? So that's it. That's where I am today. It's a little subdued. I'm up. I don't know if I tell you, the Bible in 90 days. I finished Old Testament. I'm completed with the Old Testament. I'm up to Luke. I'm up through Luke, and I'm going to write out. I have notes I made. So what I want to do is write them out, and put them up on my website as a file. So if you want to look at the passages I found interesting, you can print it out and take a look. So on that note, I'm going to start the show, and that's it. So I forgot. You can't reach me at 206-339-JOSE anymore, because 206-339-JOSE has been disconnected. I was pretty good trying to call myself every month to make sure that it got enough activity so they wouldn't do that. And, well, you know, they fucked me over. They took my phone number away. So, what am I going to do? Right? So for K7.net, they can go fuck themselves, okay? So do not use K7.net. K7.net, I do not find them to be, since they did this to me. And of course, they didn't ask me to pimp their website. But it just pisses me off that they did that. I mean, because I know it hasn't been that long since I had a phone number call. And I know I've called myself to make sure. I've had a phone call since November. It's only December, January now. It's been a month. So if you want to reach me, you're just going to have to email me or record your voice and send it to me. I'm sure most of my listeners, anybody who's listening to a podcast, can probably do that. So that's the long and short. It's going to sound better anyway. So if you're going to send me a file, send me an MP3. You know, don't call my phone number because it's stupid anyway. It's stupid. It's stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. So anyway, on with the show.
Yeah. So we're in the living room here. Andy, you remember him? Last year he was on, telling us how he liked to something about
That's
eating
right,
pussy.
I was eating pussy. That's right. Oh,
yeah,
pretty cocks.
The unusual gay man, New England gay man who likes to eat pussy. So he's here again for an evening. We just finished our music quiz, which John prepared. And Andy said something that he was on a podcast, another podcast. Unless this is his second podcast, I guess he was on. Now he's going to be on a third one. So tell us about this podcast you were on.
Okay. About right there.
That's fine. I can hold
it. Oh, you're going to hold it? Oh, thanks. Actually, it was this girl named Judy that I met in AA, and she was doing her thesis. She was doing a thesis, and it was on sort of society and sexual mores of the, you know, of gay life.
Yeah.
And she was talking about gay life, you know, lesbian as opposed to gay men, and in the periods of decades, certain decades, what we did. And she asked me, because of my age, you know, about what I thought about sex pre-AIDS, and then what I thought about sex in the age of AIDS and after, where we are now. Mm-hmm. And actually, what she was really pinpointing these questions, and what it got down to is she was really asking me about the use of condoms and lube. And it felt so strange to me to talk about how I realized what I thought about anal sex. And I realized this is what I thought about anal sex. It kind of crystallized for me. And I realized that before there were AIDS, before we had AIDS, the AIDS crisis, I used to love anal sex because you didn't have to use condoms. You know, you just greased up and had mm-hmm. anal sex, and it seemed very free and easy. It seemed a little more easier than it is now. And now I seem to not have anal sex because you have to stop the process and get the condom and put the condom on and then put the lube, but it has to be the right kind of lube that won't break the condom. And it got kind of, in order for us to be safe, it got kind of confusing to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what she asked me then, she said, oh, you're talking about spontaneity. It lost its spontaneity. And I think for me, it kind of did lose that. You know, you could, pre-AIDS, you could decide to have anal sex in a minute or two, in a second, and be doing it and not be. And this time it seems to be either have to interrupt and get the condom out, get the condom, or you have to start with a condom on in case you're going to have anal sex, or not use a condom and then worry because you didn't use a condom or pull out. I don't know. And it's funny, what it came down to me is when I was talking about thinking about anal sex in my life, it's like I never have anal sex anymore because of the necessary use, the need for condoms. And that's actually what we were talking about. And she said she wanted to hear that from me because I lived in the 70s, and you know, before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a young man in the 70s, 72, 74. You know what I mean? Yeah, and I'm sure John does too. We're like the same.
So it's too much preparation?
Yeah, to me it's a lot of work, and the work takes the romance and the spontaneity out of it. And before I know it, it's like, I don't feel like doing this.
It takes away that sensuous.
Yeah, like that man, yeah, it takes away that sensuous feeling.
So,
yeah.
So besides anal
sex, this was a woman's thesis that it all fit into.
Really?
I thought it was funny. It was kind of a...
That's interesting.
Sociology.
Yeah.
I guess she would be into, right? She was writing it. Yeah. Yeah. And she had all these women's points of view about stuff. I'm not quite sure what. And then she had, you know, men's point of view about certain... And it was interesting. She actually steered me onto that topic. And I didn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of being, you know, by the question she was asking me, I found myself talking about that. And it was interesting because while I was talking about it, I realized I felt very strongly about it, you know. And I'm not saying I think anal sex is bad or good or, you know.
Just not as spontaneous.
Yeah, and I find in my life, for me, when I never have, I very rarely, very, very rarely end up having anal sex.
Because it's too much involved.
Exactly.
Because you have to actually think about it.
Yeah.
You're going in that S.
Yeah.
You know?
Being safe. And
yeah, being safe. And
like stopping the act of it. Kind of breaks a little of the romance to me, or the passion, or whatever's going on.
Or maybe it's because you have to actually think about it, too.
I think you're right. Yeah, you have to be, like, intellectual. You have to use intellectual rather than just going with the flow.
It's not just emotional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just use passion and that emotional sort of crest that you ride.
Yeah.
You end up having to use part of your brain, that part of your brain, which maybe during sex I don't like to use.
So, let me ask you this. So then...
what do you think the how this is changing gay sex? Do you think that's why you have barebacking and stuff
I
now?
I think you'd have...
And the rise of AIDS because of this, because of that?
I think
men are just saying,
right.
Fuck that, I'm going to, I don't care, I'm going to take my chances.
And I think sometimes it turns guys on, that whole issue of barebacking, there's kind of a danger in it, you know, and I think that kind of adds a little adventure to it, and it's kind of like a little sexual danger, although I think it's bad because you never know. But I think younger folks than I, different generations.
Because they don't know
decades,
the risk.
Yeah.
They don't know about losing friends.
Right.
And
they just think it's the older guy's got AIDS and maybe I won't. Or maybe they...
So how is this changing sexual behavior in men who aren't, you know, having anal sex? Is it just blowjobs or is there anything else going on?
I think what happens is, I know... For me, it's sometimes the emphasis is not always on the orgasm so much. Like, I can have sex now that I consider sex and making love, and sometimes there's not even an orgasm involved. You know, I'll be all done with it and realize, oh, my God, there was not, he didn't even come or I didn't come. And it still was, like, so pleasant and fun and sexual and romantic and all those things that you might want it to be. You know, it could be very hot or it could be kind of sweet and loving, you know. And I think sometimes getting to the point of, like, the penetration and all, for me, it doesn't always have to happen.
It doesn't. It's not really necessary.
And
apparently,
if there is a culmination, it is. Sometimes it culminates in could culminate in blowjobs. It doesn't always, though. Yeah,
or hand jobs.
Yeah,
or
hand jobs, like your mutual hand jobs. Yeah,
frottage.
Yeah. But I think you're right. You end up a lot of times. I find like, you know, both jacking off like with your arms around each other or somehow some sort of together. That ends a lot. But I think for me, which I kind of like, is the emphasis isn't on that, like, you know, you got to have a big orgasm. It has to be a big finish.
So the ejaculation is not the, that's not the end.
Yeah. I mean,
it's the being closeness,
it's great,
and the hotness,
you know?
And stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes with another, I think it's not really, I kind of like that too, because it makes the whole, it makes it a little more, you're more relaxed about it. It's more, makes feels more important, more intimate, more important.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys are, it seems like, I mean, in gay pornography is that everything is on the wad, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How big it is, how much it is,
you know? And they even have names for it. I think,
we have great names for it today.
Yeah, cum shot, shot.
Yeah.
All that crap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in reality, though, I mean, there's a lot of men who don't really care about necessarily the orgasm so much, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah,
but you want an orgasm. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but you would think that, you know, from popular culture and from you know, gay pornography, that everybody's just, all men are interested in blowing their load.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice sometimes, and I think it depends on the temperature and texture of the chemistry between the two men. You know what I mean? Sometimes it could be. You know, like I have an interesting thing that happens. This one man I know that when we get together, we're not boyfriends, but we're a little more than sex buddies because there is something between us. There's intimacy and this conversation, and we spend time together, and there's a little, we care about each other. There's telephone conversation, but we're not really boyfriends. But sometimes we just are in bed and we just kind of hold each other. We have no clothes on, but we like hold each other and rub each other down and maybe kiss each other a little bit and rub each other's hair and do back rubs and, you know, I mean,
that's,
I'll touch
nice,
his penis.
Yeah.
He will touch, you know what I mean, and he'll touch my butt and so, you know, but yeah, but it doesn't, you know, and it's like, and sometimes he'll spend the night, we'll do that, and in the middle of the night I'll find, wake up and, you know, my head is right on, you know, it's very nice, it's strange, and not, I mean, sometimes there is sex and sometimes we have, that's the one time when I do have anal intercourse with him, I will have it and he, it's one of the one times where I'm comfortable with it, where I'm actually the bottom and he has no problem slipping that on, and so it doesn't bother him. Yeah, he doesn't bother him.
Yeah.
You know, I keep everything right by the bed. He somehow manages to get it on, greased up, you know. But that's one of the only times that I
the magic.
Yeah, that's the only one. Only times that I ever really have
because
sex.
He knows how to slip on the condom.
And most a lot of times with him, I don't even have. We don't even have that.
Yeah,
you know.
But in the few times you do,
yeah, sometimes we do.
Yeah.
It's usually his decision, pretty much.
Is this the guy on the down low? Or?
This is the guy. I've known him for years. Johnny's met him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of... He has a girlfriend, but he's gay. Yeah. He has a gay sensibility. Like, he, I can tell by the way he looks at me and the way he, you know, he's gay. He has gay thoughts and gay feelings. But he doesn't.
But he's not out.
He can't get to it out. Yeah. He can't get to admitting that he has those. Once in a while he will, and then.
Yeah.
Kind of. Then if, like, you talk about it too much, he recedes. You know, so I don't push him at all. He's a nice man, but.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, really. But so there's not even a lot of sex there, and to me, it's like it's just as satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember when I was younger, boy, I was had to have sex. It had to be the act of sex. You know, it had to always be sex. Yeah.
Which is limiting, really, as to what sex can be, because sex can be a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
People just think it's penetration, but it's really not. Yeah. It's more than that.
Oh, yeah. I like when there's closeness.
Yeah. You know. What's the point of really? I mean, yeah. I guess I don't never understood that mentality of people just going in to the bushes, the sex addicts, I guess. I don't know if
you don't have that type of
mentality. It's not my mentality to go in to have anonymous sex.
I understand that. But I've passed through that, so I know what it is. But a lot of times it's because what makes you feel better.
Well, anonymous sex?
Yeah, because if you have anonymous sex, it makes you feel like in some way you're desired and that you're attractive or that you're sexy, it can do that for you. But it all crashes in on you after a while. But it can do that. That's like the immediate.
Because it's a loneliness, right?
Yeah, when you're all done.
I mean, after you're done, it's like.
Yeah, it's like eating a bunch of candy and then getting a bad stomach ache.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's a deep loneliness. And I think when you live that way, and have that kind of sort of love life, the anonymous, I think it actually prevents you from having something that's intimate. I think it actually.
You think a certain person, though, that's what they want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you think, you know, do you think everybody feels lonely? Or do you think somebody will just accept it and say, you know, I'm resolved to it, so I'm just going to have anonymous sex all the time?
Yeah, and I think sometimes that's.
I mean, do you know people like that who are just like, you know, that's.
That's
you know,
what they do.
That's
as far as they go.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes.
I could put a judgment on
it. They don't even come to that intellectual decision about it. They don't come to that, think of that, like, this is as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah.
It's just what they do, and they're so either closed up or in denial or bottled up that they don't, that's all they can do and that's all they do, and they don't even think they're missing anything.
Yeah, because they don't know any better.
Yeah, and then I think there's some guys that's all they like.
Yeah.
I mean, I know of a couple, that's all they like. Like, they have sex with you once.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this one guy friend, he said, I have sex with you once, and after that, you're a sister.
Really?
Yeah. You know, so he never dated.
So he's like a numbers guy.
Yeah, but he knew it. He admitted it, and that's what, you know. And he had a lot of friends, but he never had a boyfriend.
Then you're a sister.
Yeah, and he never had boyfriends, but he had a million friends.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like, but he was upfront about it.
Yeah.
You know. But I think, there's a loneliness. I know when I've done it, I've been in that place where I've done it and had anonymous sex. I got very ill emotionally. It made me sick. It made me lonely and sad and depressed.
Yeah. Well, when I was, you know, before I met Johnny, I was, you know, I had Netscape or whatever, you know, and I was one of these chat rooms.
Yeah.
And you'd, you know, chat with these people and, you know, jerk off or whatever. Yeah. Smoke cigarettes and jerk off and have this hot conversation.
Yeah.
But afterwards, it was like, boy, that's really lonely, you know? It's like, as the lube is drying.
Yeah. As you're wiping off your keyboard.
Yeah,
I've done that.
Yeah, it's like.
It's kind of hard. Sometimes first you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm like jerking off and there's typing involved.
You're typing and jerking off.
But then it kind of gets
fun. And then you're
sort
of really involved with the person.
You get really
involved. Really get close.
And or do you ever feel this when you've done it? And the pace of the typing gets really fast.
Yeah.
And they go type and you type and they type.
And then no capitals are used or all capitals.
Yeah, it's very. I remember that, like, when that was sort of new, the chat rooms.
Yeah.
You know, and I did that. It was like. But then I did it, and then that was, you know. But I think chat rooms are good, because I think people really, I've met people in there that I've met outside of there.
Oh, yeah.
In legitimate conversations, you know, normal.
Except we didn't have cyber sex, Johnny.
Well, that's good. That's probably why you're still together.
Yeah. I had cyber sex with a German midget.
Did you?
Yeah. He's a Berlin, Berlin midget.
Wow. Wow.
Do I have to be quiet?
No,
you can talk.
Did you hear what we were talking about?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Or anything about what you feel about, like, gay society or gay sexual mores, how they've evolved or how they affected you or what you thought of them or what you, you know, like, what did you pick and choose?
Well, I heard you talking about condoms in the other room. And I have to agree with that. That, you know, if you're of a certain age and you knew what sex was like without condoms, then they are just a big pain in the ass, and it's not worth going through, you know, having anal sex, because you have to put it on, and it's just...
And you were a man who liked anal sex, as I remember.
I did.
You know, you...
I like to give it, baby.
But that's what I mean. Yeah, you really liked it, though. Yeah.
John was a big top.
Yeah, you liked to have anal sex. A lot.
I did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just not worth it. I agree. But, you know, and the thing I thought of when I was listening to you is that when you watch porn now, the way
John's
porn
a big bottom now.
Is they don't show you the part of the movie where the guy puts the condom on.
No, they don't show you that. They're self, yeah.
It's like, you know, they don't show you that. They're like pretending that it isn't there, except you see it when you see them fucking the other guy, but you don't see them put it on. It just happens. It's like, mm-hmm. It just happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, you can see them like unwrapping it with their teeth, right. Trying to grease up.
So, you
getting
know,
it on. Your dick gets a little soft. It might not go on really well because it's like such a turnoff that you're doing this.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And then when you get a latex allergy.
Yeah.
Well, then you look down and you got this thing on your hog. Yeah. I just think it's not sexy.
There was a story. Remember George?
I do.
George. Remember, you know George? He used to live on Queensbury Street. He had a friend. I forget his name. And they were roommates, right? Mm-hmm. The friend. And the roommate was saying...
He's good.
Oh, yeah. I had this really hot date last night with this pilot. Because he sees the pilot like once a month when he's in town.
Oh, yeah.
But he goes, it was really uncomfortable. The pilot was a bottom. So... I forget the guy's name. I'll call him John or Peter or whatever. I don't know what his name is. Bill. His name is Bill. So Bill goes, so, you know, we're all getting into it and everything. I put the condom on, and then I get the lube, and I use too much, and it's like stringing, like, it was like this type of lube. It was like slimy, sort of. And it was like hanging is like in his fingers, and it's webbing in his fingers. It's like this web. It was like, you know... Gossamer.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like either you laugh.
You what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally the moment.
You know, all of this, like, goo.
Totally changed.
Sticky goo all over, you know?
It's true.
I think probably the condom, or having to wear a condom is more of a big deal for the top guy.
Oh, yeah.
The bottom guy. I mean, I don't know. I think with the bottom guy...
It feels better without it.
Even for the bottom?
I think so. I can feel the difference with a condom. A dick with a condom on. Yeah. Doesn't feel as good. You know? Maybe it's psychological to me.
Could be.
Yeah. You know, I might like... You're closer without it. You know, you think you feel the guy's skin, actually. I don't know. I don't know.
And I can remember when they were first started to give, like, you know, the AIDS Action Committee would, you know, give these little... talks about how sexy condoms were and how you could incorporate that. And, you know, it's just bullshit.
Well, you ever, like, blow a guy with a condom?
What's the point?
I tried it once. It tasted so bad. I'm not going to do this.
It's like, it is. It's, like, not worth
it. I'm not going to do
it.
It's like when I was
yeah.
When I was a senior between high school and college.
And I'd be dead if you got it. Sorry.
When I was between high school and college, I worked in General Electric in a machine shop. And one of the guys in the machine shop asked me for a cigarette. And at the time, I think I was smoking something really pussy, like Kent's, right?
Hey.
So I gave him the Kent, and he looked at me, and he said, this is like sucking on a tit through a woolen blanket. And he ripped the filter off and then put the cigarette in his mouth. That's what condoms are like.
Kent cigarettes.
Yeah.
Giving a blowjob with a condom on is like smoking a Kent cigarette.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make... I know that they say you're not supposed... You know, like my doctor said to me, low risk, not no risk.
Yeah.
What is?
Oral sex.
Oh, yeah.
Very low risk, but... No.
Not no risk.
Yeah. You know, all I can say is...
Oral sex with an ejaculation in your mouth? Or
well, he just said oral sex,
period.
Yeah, he didn't. You know, all I can say is, for the amount of dicks I've sucked, I'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I mean, I hate to say that. You can go out and suck on the dick you want, but
you probably can,
unless you have like a.
You know, and I'm not saying I take cum in my mouth, but it's just been accidents.
Yeah.
Or I have, you know.
Well, of course, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, or somebody I really liked.
Yeah.
Thought I, oh, they're okay. They're a thing. You know,
what kind of sex did you have with Gary? And he was
we would fuck.
And he didn't tell you that he was positive, did
no,
he?
I would fuck him. That was the top. He's a total bottom. Total bottom.
Yeah.
I would suck his prick. Came in my mouth a couple times. I didn't get him.
Was he on medicine?
What?
Was he on taking medicine?
He didn't tell me he was HIV positive. He said he wasn't.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what
I
a
said,
liar.
I was at, he said, no, I'm not. You know.
Then he became like Miss HIV Queen.
Didn't he like know that at the time?
I don't know if he did. If he did, he was lying. If not,
but he's a big liar anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he tends to be a liar. So it was so after the fact that, you know, when I found out and then he said I'm HIV positive, we've already been together and broken up. It was like,
yeah,
you know,
he died. Right?
I wasn't really interested, like when he knew and when he did. But we would do. We did two things. We had anal sex where I fucked him. Or we would sometimes 69 and suck each other's dicks. Those are the two things we did. And we'd cum in each other's mouths. Or I would fuck him up the ass and cum up his ass. That's all we ever did.
With the condom?
No condom. Started out.
You didn't use a condom on his ass?
First time, a couple times I did, and I was like, fuck
this.
Oh my god. I would just fuck him. You know? Yeah, just fuck him. Shoot, let it go right up his ass.
So there is a remnant of the good old days.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I pushed the envelope.
Yeah.
But.
And the risk, what's the risk to the top?
Well.
In that?
What if I had little cuts on my.
I know, what, but what, it, yeah, it's true, but what I'm saying, what is the risk? Is it 25% risk?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, as a, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that there is some, and you shouldn't, you know, not
yeah.
do it. I hate to say this, but I have heard a couple of medical people say, yes, it's very dangerous, you know, you've got to be careful, AIDS is very cheap. But I have heard a couple of medical people say, it's sometimes not as easy to get as you think.
Right. Yeah.
And that's all they say.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's good to treat everybody like they were positive, and they say, you know, but it's not, sometimes it's not quite as easy to get as you think it is.
And what do you think? What are they saying?
I'm not quite sure.
Here's the question I have.
I know that it can't live in oxygen. So
at all, for even a few seconds.
Even for a second.
For oxygen?
It can't live in air. The HIV.
Suppose it's in a wet cum. Like it lives in the cum, right?
Right, but the cum, say you can't, you would have to, you know, what am I trying to say?
It's very fragile virus.
And it has to be encased.
And it dies very quickly in any kind of exposure to air.
So if it dries up...
Or, like, I think probably even stomach acids and mouth acids, too.
And there's an enzyme in saliva that kills it. That's why...
Yeah, very fragile.
That, it's low risk, but not. But there's an enzyme in saliva that will kill it, too.
So if somebody had, like, ulcers in their esophagus, then they might...
Cuts in your mouth.
Cuts in their mouth.
You know, bleeding gums. Say you're wrong with your gums and your... You know, you just went to the dentist and they scraped.
Yeah, but you still have that. You still have that saliva in there, so it even reduces.
They say that could be. I can understand that might be a little dangerous.
You know, a question I have is this: if you have sex with an HIV positive person who is on medication, who's taking the cocktail, and their viral load is undetectable, is it safer to have sex with them than it is with someone who's not on? Like, does that diminish the risk too?
Yeah.
Because if your viral load is undetectable, I mean, there has to be very few...
I know I've had sex with HIV men more than I know. I mean, I know that.
You've had to, right?
Yeah,
with the number of... Yeah.
Because I found out after the fact, or they've come up to me and said to me, oh, I have to tell you this, you know, I was... Well, whatever, or I just knew, you know, yeah, I can think... And so far, I mean...
Knock on wood.
Yeah, you know, but... And I don't think... And I still get my HIV test, and even Dr. Cohen says, why do you keep getting this every year? I said, it's not what we're supposed to be. He said, you don't really need to. Do your practices change? Have you changed the way? He said, no. He said, you really don't? He said, well. I said, I want it anyways.
So good, probably,
in my,
right?
In my, yeah. But now that I'd like to hardly ever have sex, period.
Was that the Prozac or?
No. It's just the way my life shakes out right now. I think it's just because of where I'm, you know,
oh,
where
yeah.
you're at in your life. I'm not sure that it's anything good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I jack off a lot. I watch porn and jerk off a lot.
You watch it on the... You don't watch it on the...
On my DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
You got DVDs?
You need to check out X-Tube, I told you.
Yeah, I buy DVDs.
Yeah. They're expensive, though,
aren't they? Yeah. But sometimes you can buy them on, like, on sale.
Yeah.
You know, like on... There's a couple sites that sell them.
Where do you sell them? Where do you get them from?
One site's called TLA Video.
Oh, yeah. Theater of the Living Arts.
Yeah. And they have a good porn section.
Yeah.
And a lot of times... And it'll tell you what the disc is, what's it about, who's in it, how much it is, how good it is. It's like you can really...
You really trust them.
Yeah. And it'll also tell you like what kind of sex it features or mm-hmm. what kind of sex you're interested in seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of acts, what age group, what skin color, everything. You can really pare it down. And you can select all these things in a screen of club and you have like five discs.
And right I want wide screen with director's commentary and outtakes.
Yeah, it's like you can really do search. You know, you can say, like, I like blowjobs and interracial sex, or, you know, you can say all sorts of things. And it'll come up with, like, you'll get a few discs right on there, 10 or 12 discs. And then you click on a disc and actually read more about that.
Yeah.
You know. And they all get reviewed, good, bad, or indifferent.
By people who bought them.
Yeah, and the site.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll say honest reviews, like, this disc sucks, or this one was really good, or we recommend this, this only gets 2 stars, or whatever. Yeah, it's good. I bought a few things. And then once you buy a few, you actually get to know what you like, what companies you like.
Uh-huh. What's your favorite company?
The best one now is, like, this one. This one called Hot House.
Yeah.
Just the best. They're the best.
Were they one of these, like, Eastern European companies where they have the Eastern European
it's
boys?
It's actually California. Oh, it's California. Out of California.
Really?
But the men are Eastern European. The few times they talk, you can hear them. They're Eastern European, some of them.
Wow.
And they all have that accent. They don't talk a lot, but once in a while. Yeah, it's funny. Is that where they...
That's where they get the boys. They're cheap.
Yeah, they're really beautiful.
Yeah, they're Czechoslovakian boys. And
they're beautiful.
Yeah. And I used to like Chichi LaRue.
Yeah, he's a good...
Because they're actually funny.
Yeah,
they're actually like...
Good.
It's like there's an actual storyline going on, and it's like, you know, it can be very hot and also humorous at the same time.
There's one of his I love. It's called Boot Black.
Yeah.
And it's about a guy who works in a gay bar as the shoeshine boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like in the, you know what I mean? And it's all from his people around him having sex in the bar, or his tricks. It's great. And it's kind of funny.
Wow.
You know, and it's good. It's a chi-chi.
There's this one where I saw it was this guy who was a dead, and he came back, and he has sex with somebody, and then he takes over their identity. And then he goes, and then like he'll leave with their clothes on, and he'll go out, and then he'll have sex with somebody else, and then take on that person's clothes.
But sometimes it's funny when they try to act.
Yeah.
If they try to act too much, it's not good.
Yeah.
Then there's another one called Titan Media. Those are good.
Oh, yeah.
Titan.
Yeah.
What about Raging Stallion?
Oh, yeah. That's cult, isn't it?
Yeah. They're good. Anything. Yeah, I think. Those are the two big ones that I like. But then there's something you got to watch. It's really crappy porn.
Oh, I know.
It's really cheesy porn.
Yeah.
You know.
Really bad.
Cheesy. Yeah.
I've bought bad porn before.
Cheesy meaning that it's like...
Bad production. Not hot.
The guys aren't really hot. Or the guys don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Straight. Like,
it's
what
like,
are they doing? They don't even know how to do anything.
It's like straight boys
like,
trying to
like,
do
yeah.
like gay porn to make money. Like,
yeah, it's like really.
You know, there's on gay.com, they have in there they have a like an X section. You can go on there and look at movies if you're a member.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, there's this whole series of movies where this guy interviews straight boys, and they pay the straight boys to strip and jerk off.
And interview them at the same time. Yeah, like,
they interview. Well, it's.
So what's your 5-year
it's
goal?
Like a it's like a pretense. It's like, oh, you come to apply for the job.
Oh,
so it's like
oh.
you know, so like you're gonna apply for the job to sell this, that, and the other thing.
Do they know it's a fancy? They've been picked brief.
Oh,
right?
Sure, I'm sure they have. But they're playing along, and then
so
there's
like
and then there's one that says, you know, like, can we persuade you to take off your T-shirt? And the guy. You know, and he'll say, no, I don't want to.
Do you actually hear this?
Well, it's... I mean,
we should really... I should
so
not...
The ones like that, are they, they're not set up, but some are set up and some aren't. Is that what you're saying? Some are set up previously beforehand and they're actually going to go...
No, I think they probably all are. But they... Can you take off your shirt and... Well, what if I give you 100 pesos? Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
I know better than that.
Then they have to pay them more to take off their pants and then more to have them jerk off, etc.
I'll do more for 100 Canadian dollars. So, listen, have you ever seen this one, these porn videos, they're online. I only seen clips, but apparently you can get the whole movies, like, weekly. Is this these two guys, these guys ride around a van and pick up people, and then they convince them to get, like, they give them blowjobs and the fuck
them. Oh, I've seen that site. What, it's called, it's like Hitchhiker or something.
Something like that. They pick up these guys.
It's for real?
I guess. It looks like. I don't think so. It can't be, because, I mean, they're, like, picking up these people right off the street. Yeah. So, did you ever suck a dick? What? I never did that. Next thing you see, they're sucking the dick and being fucked at the same time.
Yeah.
They portray some of these people as, oh, here's like this French porn star, and we have here for him two beautiful straight guys. You know, for him to do, we've paid them to like do whatever, you know, he wants them to do. You know, in the next minute, the two straight guys are taking it up the ass.
Sucking each other off.
Yeah. And I've never done this before.
Yeah, I've never done this before.
Right.
Yeah. I think I remove my teeth just like this. Though I hear there's a lot of straight guys who do gay porn. A lot of the guys are not really gay.
Well, a lot of
they know gay do sex.
Porn. They do both.
Yeah.
So they're bisexual at the very best. I know. I've seen some of them, like the real hot ones. There's been a couple hot ones in some of my gay porn. It was so hot that I've said, like, what are the other movies with this guy? And they're all straight ones. You know, I've watched them, and they really fuck girls and eat pussy and do whatever.
Well, so you like that.
They're really...
You bought the gay...
No,
you
but
bought
I've
the,
seen them.
The straight right? ones?
What do they do in the gay movies?
The gay ones, they do everything. Take it up the ass, suck dick. This one guy named Matt Ramsey, he's real handsome. And,
well, I'm sure that's his real name.
You know, and he's Matt in all Ramsey. These gay... He's in a lot of gay things, you know. And then he's in these straight ones. It's unbelievable. I mean, they... At best, they're so bisexual. So
yeah.
But I think when money, sometimes some guys, I think when money's involved, they really...
I can do anything.
I think
that's right.
I
can get it up.
You know, or
they like
to be watched.
I wonder how many of them take a Viagra before they hit.
I think a lot of them. I think.
Probably.
I think they do. Why risk it?
Yeah.
Plus, you know, they're on lights and.
Yeah, it's hot and bright there.
I saw. I have some pictures from.
They're bright.
God knows where the hell I got the pictures, but. It's a picture of, like, people getting ready for a porn movie. And the makeup guy is putting makeup on the guy's balls.
Yeah.
On the actor's balls.
Yeah.
While the guy's just sitting there, like, reading a magazine or something like that.
Yeah.
Makeup. Can I have the fluffer?
I suppose, because you're really...
A little bit of glare on that right testicle there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, so unsexy, I think.
Wow.
Because I had a friend who used to... Remember I told you about him with the... You know him from Queens, Virginia, with the cigars and with the black leather. He'd come, uniforms guy.
Oh, yeah.
The uniforms guy. Yeah. And we thought one day, let's take a film of us.
Yeah.
You know, he's all the time. He said, okay. And he actually brought it over. It's like, this is when he had video cams.
Yeah.
You know, he'd have to be, he set it up. And but there had to be so much lights involved, it was not fun.
Yeah.
We ended up bagging it because it was like, oh, it's so bright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't suit us.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, we probably could do it, but it seemed like weird.
Right. Because
it was so bright
to
make it come out. Yeah.
In the light.
Too bad, because I wanted to really have it.
Uh-huh. So you just stopped it? You didn't?
Yeah, because it looks bad. Yes.
So you wanted to have the video and watch the video?
Yeah, yeah.
God, I think if I watched
each
a video
one, yeah,
of
one.
Myself having sex, I'd probably never, I'd be traumatized.
John would become a nun.
Yeah, a nun, right.
What's you'd that? Sister Colette who sings? No, it's a nun, the singing nun.
Sister, I don't know what her name is.
You mean from the old days?
Yeah, you know.
Dominique.
She was a lesbian, too, you know that? Yeah. And that Broadway Bullet, I told you, the podcast. The Broadway Bullet thing I told you about.
Sister, yeah.
Anyway, on the Broadway Bullet podcast, the guy covered the New York Music Theater Festival, and somebody wrote a musical based on the singing nun and, you know, her story. She, like, didn't make any money, and the convent, like, took the money. I don't know.
Really?
Crap.
She didn't make any?
She didn't make any.
Yeah. Debbie Reynolds made money. She played
I bet. Yeah.
Debbie Dyke.
Isn't she Dyke, too?
They say she is. You know, they say she's, like, both ways.
Yeah.
They said, what would they say? Oh, she went down on every chorus girl in Irene.
Oh, you know who was saying is a dyke?
She bothers me. I don't like her. Debbie Reynolds. She always bothered me.
She was good in Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, that's the only thing I like.
And yeah, was that what's that movie she did with
She is good in that, you're right.
what's the movie that she did with Shelley Winters?
Oh, Whatever Happened to Aunt Alice?
Something.
Yeah.
I have that on DVD.
Yeah.
That was good.
Voot, voot, voot. The movie in question is What's the Matter with Helen? And you can get this on MGM Midnight Movies series. And it's a double feature with Whoever Slew Auntie Rue, also another Shelley Winters movie from the early 70s. What's the Matter with Helen is 1971, and Who Slew Auntie Rue is 1972. Both of them are very odd. What's the Matter with Helen is a musical horror melodrama satire love story, and it's, you have to see it to believe it. I tried to find some clips from it to play, but the fun of it is actually watching it. So my Amazon.com store. I have it, a link there for it if you're interested in buying it. Voot, voot, voot.
Yeah. It's Whatever Happened. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like an entertainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Kenji, is your entire podcast tomorrow going to be about Andrew's visit?
I don't know. Maybe, because it's like 35 minutes here.
What's the topics?
35. I might have to edit. Well, but the song, this and the song in the beginning, I think this will be the whole show.
Are you going to talk about the dinner, too?
I'll talk about the dinner, yeah.
Voot, voot, voot. Well, the dinner was, because I didn't talk about it before, we got lasagna from a restaurant in Gloucester. What's the name of it? It's really good, too. Oh, I can't. Anyway, we got the two types of lasagna. We got spinach lasagna and regular lasagna. I mean, meat lasagna. And we split it amongst the three of us. And John made this fabulous salad. It had nuts in it. He had walnuts and dried cranberries and dried blueberries and gorgonzola cheese and romaine lettuce and carrots and all sorts of things. It was very good. And then for dessert, we had ice cream with hot fudge sauce. Oh, so good. I had some pudding I made. I had pudding with mine, too. And we have whipped cream. Oh, so good. And then I got into my Under Armour winter gear and got into bed like a rayon-covered sausage.
Voot, voot, voot.
Wish I could take that I just said my friend's name out of there. Can you?
Yeah, I can.
When I was just talking about the uniforms and how we were going to film it, but it was too bright.
Oh, yeah. Did you say the name?
I did.
Even the last name, too?
Yeah, I referred to him.
Okay. Hold on.
He's a very private person. I wouldn't want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll end this part, then, so I can take it off. And
not like me, who's just an old whore. Who talks about all my adventures.
Oh, before we end, right?
Yeah.
What did you say about the French organ music?
Oh, it sounded like a hearing test.
It did.
You know when you go in the booth and they put those things on? And you put your hand up.
The French organ music. It sounded like a hearing test. Okay, thank
but
you,
but a
Andy.
Couple of things I liked. I liked that thing by Poulenc with the harp. Is that Poulenc with the harp?
No.
It was Debussy.
There were two with harp. One was Debussy's sonata for harp, viola, and flute. And the other one was the Ravel Introduction and Allegro for harp.
I like that. That one.
I thought you liked the Debussy.
I did too. I liked them both, I think. Yeah. I was surprised. Because usually I don't like Ravel.
Or French.
Maybe you should listen to some more Debussy.
All I have is the big pieces.
Some of this
pieces.
Chamber music stuff. The violin sonatas.
Okay, let's say goodbye to our listeners.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Bye bye, Babs.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
You've been listening to The Flake Show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE. Or you can reach me at Kenty@theflatishow.com. Thank you for listening.